Shabbat Shalom. And Shabbat Shalom to those who are watching with us today. I have a really important message today about a sin that I think many people commit, or maybe unknowingly in Yahweh's congregation, but is something that is really, really important sin that could actually take you out of Yahweh's kingdom. So the name of the message is called The Sin of Ingratitude. The Sin of Ingratitude. And in the world today, there are many, many sad, depressed people. Matter of fact, they said with the COVID-19 situation that literally millions of people around the world are going in states of depression. Even with children, and they said suicide rates worldwide are going up. And many, many people today are depressed. And you could understand why. You know, if you were part of this system of commercial Babylon and, you know, internet and all these gadgets that they have and social media, and all of a sudden the COVID-19 comes and rips your world away, I can understand why people would be depressed. I can't understand why people in Yahweh's congregation should be depressed. People in Yahweh's congregation should be the most appreciative, happy, secure people in the whole world, given the truth that Yahweh's given us and the freedom that we have for forgiveness of sins. And people that aren't, they're not embracing that. So I want to go over that today, because I think this is a really, really important message. And really, it's a mindset, just like I say. Having a spirit of gratitude is a kingdom mindset. And in the kingdom, think about it, there's going to be millions and millions and millions of people in Yahweh's kingdom. There will not be one unhappy person there. Not one person who has a spirit of ingratitude. And when you think about it, I've said this many times, the lake of fire is not a punishment, so to speak, for the people who are going to burn to death. It's actually a blessing by Yahweh, because these are people that have chosen to be miserable, to be unhappy, to sin, to be selfish, to be prideful, and they won't change. And Yahweh's given us free will, so it's the matter that they won't change out of a loving father, just like if you had a family member that maybe has cancer and was just suffering so bad, and then they died and you were at peace because now they don't have to suffer. That's what the lake of fire is about. It's Yahweh's last blessing to give the people, to cease to exist, because they can't exist in the kingdom with that kind of mindset. So let's go over today. I want you to listen very carefully, because maybe some of us to a small degree have this problem, some of us to a bigger degree, but I think we all can really benefit on this, because I could say one thing, there isn't a person out there that is giving Yahweh enough appreciation and enough gratitude. So we all need to grow from this. Exodus 1 and verse 11. I'm going to start there with the Israelites. Exodus 1 and verse 11. It says, "And they put over them slave masters," talking about Egypt to the Israelites, "in order to afflict them with their burdens. And he built store cities for Pharaoh, Python, and Ramses," the slaves, the Israelite slaves. "And as much as they afflicted them," the Israelites, "so much they multiplied, and so much they spread. And they were afraid before the sons of Israel. And Egypt made the sons of Israel to serve with harshness. And they made their lives bitter in hard service, in clay and in bricks and in all works in the field. And the works which they made them to do with harshness." So, you know, we've probably all seen the Ten Commandments movies, which is pretty accurate with that. And we've seen that these people were serving in bondage. They were serving as slaves. They were being whipped. They were working 14, 15 hours a day. They didn't have the best food in Egypt. They really were under severe bondage. And they were crying out to Yahweh for a long time because of this. Yet, when Yahweh delivers them, he does 10 miracles, the most amazing miracles that you'll find in the history of man. There is nothing that you can show in the history of man in 6,000 years of Yahweh's intervention in mankind, and particularly in a nation, like he did with the Egyptians and the Israelites, where he personally was involved. There's no greater miracle in the world than what happened. and then with the death of the firstborn, and then the parting of the Red Sea. And a matter of fact, I'm not going to read it there, but you can read for yourself in Exodus 15 how they're just glorifying Yahweh, what wonderful he did by the parting of the Red Sea and then bringing the waters in on the Egyptians. But now let's go just one chapter later. We're not talking about hundreds of years. We're not talking about even a month. Let's go one chapter later, right? Because at the end of chapter 15, after all these praises to Yahweh, they came to Elim, where there's 12 springs of waters, and they camped there. And then, chapter 16, verse 1, they pulled up stakes from Elim. So this is right after this is happening. And the congregation of the sons of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after going out from the land of Egypt. So like I said, it's not even a month. They leave Egypt. They're going down to the Red Sea. The Red Sea crossing is happening, all these things. And then it's not even a month later. And look what happens. And the congregation of the sons of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron in the wilderness. And the sons of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of Yahweh in the land of Egypt, and are sitting by the flesh pots, and are eating bread to satisfaction?" Well, you know, somewhere, I don't read that in Scripture. I don't read that they're eating bread to satisfaction, that everything is going great. I'm reading that they're in harsh bondage, and they're crying out to Yahweh because of that. Yet, you know what? People have short memories. They have real short memories. And in life, you'll see it 1,000 times over of people that when a bad situation comes up, they'll pray to Yahweh and they'll say, "Father, please, if you'll only get me out of this, if you'll only help me, I'll change and I'll start doing the right thing." And what happens? Yahweh does deliver them, and they don't change. They don't change. And the bottom line is, most people don't change, and it's not because they can't. They can change. It's because they don't want to change. Because it takes effort, and it takes humility, and it takes a matter of putting our pride away, and it takes a matter of looking at ourselves instead of being the victim. And a lot of people won't do that. So all of a sudden they're saying they're eating bread to satisfaction. "For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill all the assembly with hunger?" That's what they're saying right after all the miracles that Yahweh did. "And Yahweh said to Moses, 'Behold, I am will rain bread from the heavens to you. And the people will go out and gather at the manner of a day of its day, so that I may test them whether they will walk in my Torah or not.'" And I say this, life is a test, that's all it is. So when trials come up, it doesn't matter what it is. Whatever that trial is, it's going to pass. This life is short, you know, 60, 70 years, maybe 80 at most. It goes by and flies by, but eternity is forever. And if you can't pass the test now and, you know, appreciate and praise Yahweh every day for what he's doing in your life, then you're just simply not going to be there in his kingdom. So that it's a test, so that I may test them whether they will walk on my Torah or not. "And it shall be on the sixth day they will prepare what they bring in, and it shall be double what they gather day by day. And Moses and Aaron said to all the sons of Israel, 'At evening you will know that Yahweh has brought you from the land of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of Yahweh in the hearing your murmurings against Yahweh.'" And we, what are we that you murmur against us, right? So you don't murmur against man. You don't murmur against your boss or your parents or your spouse or anybody else, your neighbor. You're murmuring against Yahweh because whatever your situation is, he allowed it. And he knows what we need best, and he allowed it for our test, for us to pass that test and be in his kingdom. And anybody that's murmuring against anybody, you're murmuring against Yahweh. And Moses said, "When Yahweh gives you flesh to eat in the evening and bread in the morning to satisfaction, when Yahweh hears your murmurings which are against him, you will see." And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against Yahweh. That's what your murmurings are. So it doesn't matter what they are. Doesn't matter whatever the murmurings are. And there's a lot of murmurings that go out there. The bottom line is, Yahweh allows every situation in our life. And when we murmur against him, because life is simply a test, right? If we go to the book of Numbers now, let's go to Numbers 11 and see a little bit more. Because you know what? We're in the end time, and we're entering the second wilderness now. And Israel did not pass the test, right? Out of 2 million people, more than 2 million with children, that came out of Egypt, only 20 and above, went to the Promised Land. 2 out of several million. Israel did not pass this test. So it's not a thing where somehow Yahweh will work it out. Oh, I know, I do this and that, but he'll work it out. He loves me. He loves you. But you have to overcome. And like I said, just remember this. Only 2 enter the Promised Land out of 2 million. There will not be one, not one unappreciative spirit in the kingdom. Every single person in the spirit in the kingdom will be in spirit praising Yahweh. Remember Isaiah 65, from Sabbath to Sabbath and from new moon to new moon, all flesh will come and worship before him. All flesh. And that means every single person is walking to the sanctuary of Yahweh with Bible in hand, just praising him for that. There's no murmuring spirits. Numbers 11, it says, and the people were evil as those complaining in the ears of Yahweh. And Yahweh heard, and his anger glowed, and the fire of Yahweh burned against them and devoured in the extreme end of the camp. So who's in the extreme end of the camp? The goats, right? The sheep are all together. You know, they look like one big sheep because they're all together. And where are they with the shepherd? But it's the goats that go to the end of the camp. It's the goats that go to the outer fences. It's the goats that are trying to get away. And like I said, bad communications ruin good habits. So you don't want to listen to goats. You don't want to have people that say, you know, try to catch your ear, tickling the ear, trying to tell you that something's wrong or something's bad or going against the leadership. You don't even want to listen to it, because it's the goats that are out in the camp, and the goats are going to be separated from the sheep, and the sheep make the kingdom, and the goats do not. And the people cried to Moses, and Moses prayed to Yahweh, and the fire was quenched. And he called the name of that place Taberah, because the fire of Yahweh burned among them. And the mixed multitude among them lusted with a great lust. And the sons of Israel turned back and wept and said, who shall cause us to eat flesh? Right, the mixed multitude. So who's telling them how bad it is? Who's telling them how better it was in Egypt? The mixed multitude. And that's why I say, you know, as we're getting to a point now where travel is restricted, there'll be a point where it will stop completely. The decisions you make and the people you are with right now, you better make sure that they're in the faith, because they're the people that will help you get into the kingdom, or they're the people that will keep you out of the kingdom. You know? And like I said, I know the people that are going to be in my inner circle, I'm going to pick. Because I don't want goats. I don't want people faithless. I don't want people that are unappreciative. I don't want murmurs and complainers with me. It's that simple. I want people that want to serve Yahweh with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. So at the end of the day, you better be careful in the days ahead right now, whether you're following the mixed multitude or you're following the 144,000. You're following the pure seed of Yahweh. And then verse 5, we remember the fish that we ate in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. And now our soul withers. There's nothing except this manna before our eyes. Can you imagine how disgusting, how what liars they are? You know, it's like you see today. You can't believe anything that you see in the news. Everything is twisted. These people could have been working for CNN, you know, with this kind of stuff. They're saying in Egypt, where they're slaves and they're being beaten, and they're being suffering and going through hard bondage every single day. That's what Scripture says, how great it was. And then they're saying, oh, and all we have to do is eat this manna. The food of Elohim, the food of the cherubs, right? That Yahweh is bringing to the earth. And I don't know what manna was. I don't know what it tastes like. I don't know what it looked like. But all I know is it had to be perfect, because it was not touched by man. There was no intermediary. Yahweh rained it down. They picked it up. And they ate it. And it had to have every nutrient. It had to be the best thing in the world, because it's coming directly from Yahweh. And yet, this is what their answer is. And how many things in your life, maybe, how many mannas is Yahweh maybe giving you that you're saying, hey, you know what? I had it better in Egypt. You know, there's a message I'm working on. Probably give it at the feast on, do you know when the cloud is moving? Because sometimes Yahweh moves the cloud, and he moves it for your benefit. And people don't want to move with it, because they have no faith, they're scared, there's all different reasons. But here it is. that Yahweh may be giving you great manna right now from heaven that you're despising in your life because you want to look back from where you came from. Remember Lot's wife. I'll tell you, that's an awesome sermon, and I'd say listen to it again. Listen to it a third time, because this message is in there, and many brethren are looking back now instead of looking ahead, and you got to admit it if you're going to overcome it. So bad communications ruin good habit. Mixed multitude was bred with dissatisfaction in faithless people. And remember, don't look for your faith in a mixed multitude. You're not going to get it. The unconverted people are the people you don't want in your camp. Because as things get worse, right, what are they going to look for? They're going to be the ones pushing to get the vaccine. They're the ones that are going to be judging, you know, oh, how selfish you are, how you're crazy, you think the vaccine is this or you think the vaccine is that. That's what they're going to be looking for. So it's a time where we got to look in Scripture. We got to follow Yahweh. Now look down to verse 31, same chapter. And a wind went forth from Yahweh and cut off quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp as a day's journey, there, all around the camp, about 2 cubits above the face of the land. Well, imagine this miracle. So now they're all worried. They want to eat meat, right? So Yahweh says, okay, I'll give you meat. And a day's journey. Think of how long a day's journey by foot. That's miles. All the way around the camp, 2 cubits. 2 cubits is 3 feet of quail for miles around. You know, it's unbelievable. And the people rose up all that day and all that night and the day after. And what were they doing now? Are they looking like, hey, you know what? There's old people here that might not be able to go and gather it. There could be crippled people here. Nope. They rose up and they ran and they wanted to get as much as they could for themselves. And look what it says. And they gathered the quails. He who had least had gathered 10 homers, and he who spread them out for themselves around the camp. So that's each one went to grab as much as they can because of their lust and just chomping on that meat in their lust. And it sickened Yahweh. It sickened him. And look, the flesh was yet between their teeth, right? And now, chomping on that stuff. And it was not cut off. And the anger of Yahweh glowed against the people. And Yahweh struck among the people with a very great plague. And the one called the name of the place, the Graves of Lust. For there they buried the people who lusted. Wow. So here you have it. You know, here you have it. This is, we don't want to be in that situation. And lust is desiring anything that Yahweh hasn't given you. So it's that simple. You know, so if he's giving you a great garden and you're eating a lot of vegetables and you don't have so much meat and you're craving for the meat, that's lust. You know, the same way, like I say, you could have 10 coats. And even though you have the money in your pocket and you walk down the street and you buy that 11 coats, it's lust. It's covetousness. Because you're desiring something you don't need. And you're desiring something that Yahweh hasn't blessed you with. So this is what we need to be overcoming here. And unappreciative because they were filled with lust, selfishness. And even after the quail, there was no appreciation. So as the quail's coming, are they thanking Yahweh? Are they praising Yahweh? Are they praying to Yahweh? No. They're running out and they can't get enough of that stuff to feed their fat faces. That's about the sum of it. Let's go to Luke 17 and verse 11. Luke 17 and verse 11. See something else here about having gratitude? And it happened in his going to Jerusalem, even he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. So this is where Yeshua's on his way going up to Jerusalem, and he's passing through these areas, right? And he, entering into a certain village, 10 leprous men met him, who stood from a distance. And they lifted their voice, saying, Yeshua, our master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priests. And they were cleansed while they were going. But one of them, when he saw that he was cleansed, he returned with a loud voice and was giving praise to Yahweh. Wow. So why only one? Why one when he realized he was cleansed? You know why? Because the one that realized he was cleansed realized it was a miracle of Yahweh. The other ones were just looking at themselves and thinking of themselves and where they're going to go. But they're not thinking of the miracle that was given to them. And he fell on his face at his feet, at Yeshua's feet, thanking him, and he was a Samaritan, right? He wasn't even an Israelite. And answering, Yeshua said, were not ten cleansed? Where are the other nine? For what did they separate that they should come and give praise to Elohim? Only this man who is from a foreign people? And he said to him, rising up, go, your faith has given you life. Your faith is giving you life. Now that's pretty interesting. What does that say? It shows it takes faith in Yahweh to see his blessings in your life. Because you know what? There isn't a person on this planet that Yahweh's not blessing one way or another. You know, every single person on this planet, because you can't survive without food and water, and everybody, to some degree or another, has food and water, they wouldn't be alive. So they could be thanking Yahweh for that. They could be thanking Yahweh for where they live, for their parents, for their family, for their kids, for their job, for their food, for anything. Their health, there's a million things they could be praising Yahweh for, but it takes faith because you have to see that Yahweh's blessing you with that. And if not, what's going to happen? What happens to most people in the world? They don't see the 99 good things in their life. They only focus on the one thing they don't have. You know, but to a degree, it's human nature. Because think about it. If you've ever been sick, and what it could be like a bad sore throat, you know, or a flu, or it can even be where you're in pain. Maybe you have a real bad pain somewhere. Wow. During that time, whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. That pain seems so intense, and I can tell you what my shoulder, because I went through that for months and months and months and months, and it almost is so intense you can't think about anything else. But you know what's strange? Once it's healed, you don't think about it. I don't think of every day of the pain I had several years ago with my shoulder, because when it's not there, you're not focusing on it. But with the blessings, we have to do this. With the blessings, you have to focus on it. You have to focus on the things that Yahweh is doing in your life every day. You can't be focusing on the things that you're lusting after that you don't have. It's that simple. And it takes faith. You have to believe that Yahweh is, like it says in Hebrews 11, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So it takes faith to see the blessings in your life. Many are just moping around. They don't have the faith to see it. It's that simple. Let's go to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. And verse 25. Psalm 18, verse 25. He says, with the merciful, talking about Yahweh, with the merciful, you, Yahweh, reveal yourself as merciful. With the upright man, you reveal yourself as upright. With the pure, you reveal yourself as pure. With the crooked, you appear perverse, right? So basically, this is what I always say. Yahweh made man in his image, and man creates Yahweh in his own image. So if you're a sinner and you don't want to overcome, your Elohim is someone who understands your sin, and he accepts your sin. You know, if you're a drug addict, then your Elohim is somebody who loves drug addicts. Whatever it is, whatever your vice is, that's where you create this deity in your image. But in reality, it's very interesting. With the merciful, people that are merciful, Yahweh reveals himself as also merciful, because in order for you to be merciful, you have to understand Yahweh's mercy in your life. If you don't understand that, you can never be merciful to other people. With the upright, you reveal yourself as upright the same way. So if in order to understand Yahweh's righteousness, you have to be righteous. With the pure, you reveal yourself as pure. If you want to see the purity of Yahweh, you know, and the holiness of Yahweh, then you have to have that in your life also. But with the crooked, you appear perverse. Why? Because the crooked is always blaming Yahweh. The crooked, the ones who have the sin of ingratitude and an unappreciative spirit, they're blaming. First they're going to blame man and human beings, but then they're going to blame Yahweh after that. So to the faithless, everything is twisted by their defiled mind and conscience. So again, it takes faith, and that's what it comes down to. That's why I say I feel bad for the people in the world today who don't know Yahweh and are depressed, and some of them committing suicide, and like I said, all these, I feel terrible for them. But my advice would be find Yahweh, you know, because where you're looked at as a fool in the world today to put your trust in Yahweh, that's your only trust. That's your only reality. Because at the end of the day, this world is going to go, and we're all going to go to the dust we came from, but Yahweh stands forever. So are you going to listen to human beings that are going to be back to dust where they came from? Or are you going to listen to Yahweh, who is eternal spirit? So to the faithless, everything is twisted by the defiled mind and their conscience. How do you look at the blessings Yahweh has given in your life? How do you look at your blessings? Do you even recognize them? Do you see them every day? Do you write them down? Do you praise Yahweh for them? How do you see the blessings that Yahweh has given you in your life? Appreciation is a gift. To see your life for what it really is and to see Yahweh's great mercy in your life. Human nature is naturally not appreciative. It's unfulfilled and it's always wanting more. It never sees the good things in its life. It's always feeling it's getting the short end of the stick. It's always feeling that they're not having enough. Always the pity party. That's the human nature spirit. Always wanting more. The single person, if he could only get married, if I could only get married, that's all I want, if I could only find a wife and get married, life would be great, right? But then what happens? They get married, and then when they get married, if we could only have a child. Oh, if we could only have a child. If we just had a child, our life would be terrific if we only had a child. And then you have a child, and what happens? Then you want more children. You want more children because the human nature is never satisfied with what it has. And then after you can have many children, then what happens? If I could only have a grandchild. If I could only live to see a grandchild, I'll be the happiest person in the world. And then what happens? After you have grandchildren, then it's something else. Then it's something else. So instead of being appreciative, you know what? You could serve Yahweh as a single person. You could serve Yahweh as a married person. If you're married and you don't have kids, you have the ability to do things and serve Yahweh better. If you have kids, you have the great blessing of being able to raise children to be children of Yahweh. Everything is a blessing as long as you have eyes to see. Everything is a blessing. So instead of always wanting more, we need to be satisfied with less. That's what it is. We need to be satisfied with what Yahweh gives us. It is an unappreciative spirit only seeing what you don't have instead of what you do have. And an unappreciative spirit will never be satisfied. There's never, because that's their nature. By nature, they're never going to be satisfied. Whatever they have, that goes out the window, and they're looking toward the next thing, what they don't have. And whatever they get will simply go to something else that they don't have. So that'll be the next thing. Never giving appreciation for what they do have. And I say, in our prayer life, 90% of our prayer should be thanking Yahweh. And it could be 110% because you don't have enough hours in the day. You could thank Yahweh day and night. You could thank Him for 24 hours a day and you don't have enough hours. But 90% of your prayer should be thanking for Yahweh you have and 10% on sharing with Him the needs in your life. It should be a 90-10, just like with the tithe. That's the way it should be. But unfortunately, a lot of people see the other way around. We should be the most grateful people in the world. We have the mind of Messiah. And like I said, you know what? You could be the strongest person in the world, right? You could have the strength of Samson. You could pick up a house. And what good is it if you didn't have a mind that could recognize it? Because you know what? Elephants are really strong. Elephants could pick up a lot of stuff. I wouldn't want to be an elephant. You know, maybe I'd be happy eating peanuts all day, you know. But I wouldn't want to be that. I have a mind. I could think. Not only am I made in Yahweh's image, not only do I have hands that I can grasp, and I have ears that I can hear, and I have eyes that I can see colors and beautiful things, but I have a mind that I can understand it. I can actually understand what Yahweh's done. I have a mind that can analyze it. I have a mind that can analyze His beauty of creation, and I can praise Him day and night. And am I doing that? That's what it comes down to, right? You're one in a million people out there in the world. 999,999 don't understand this. And you're the one who does. And are you appreciating Yahweh for it? That you have the mind of Messiah? That your mind is open to His truth? Or are you just sitting there in self-pity what you don't have? Knowing that you have, like I said, 999,999 don't have what you have. And yet you want that one thing more, which wouldn't make you happy anyway. Because like I said, an unappreciative spirit will never ever be happy. It's by their nature they can't be happy. They have to play the victim. Titus 1 in verse 15, and it's not just in being unhappy or being depressed. it actually, it changes your whole mindset. Your mindset becomes nothing but fake news. Your mind becomes fake news, just like looking at the news out there and seeing how fake it is. You don't even want to watch it because they twist and turn everything. And that's what the unappreciative spirit does. Book of Titus, chapter 1 and verse 15. Truly, all things are pure to the pure, just like we just read in the Psalm, right? All things are pure to the pure. So when something happens, right, when somebody's knocking at your door, you're not immediately thinking it's somebody there to hurt you. You're thinking maybe it's somebody here by Yahweh to give me a blessing. You're not thinking the worst of everybody. You're giving people the benefit of the doubt. You're not thinking when someone came in and didn't say hello to you right away that there's something wrong, because life is not about you, right? So to the pure, all things are pure. You know, maybe something happened. Maybe he's sick. Maybe he needs the toilet. Who knows? But there's a reason maybe why the person didn't immediately come up to you, right? All things are pure to the pure, but nothing is pure to those being defiled and faithless. Nothing is pure. And no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter what you teach, no matter how you encourage, nothing is pure to those being defiled and faithless. Nothing is. So no matter what you say, it's only going to make the matter worse and it'll be twisted against you. But even their mind and their conscience has been defiled. Their mind and their conscience has been defiled. Because that's what they're thinking about. The conscience is the thing that keeps reminding you, right? And it could be reminding you to praise Yahweh, your conscience. Oh, I didn't pray today enough. I need to pray more. I need to thank Yahweh more. Or it could be the opposite. Man, I'm not getting enough. Man, they're being bad. Blah, 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 blah. All the bad things, right? And the reality is, it's how you're interpreting it. It's not the reality of what it really is. They profess to know Elohim, but by their works they deny him. And they are abominable and disobedient, condemning every kind of good work. Wow. The sin of ingratitude. It's one of the worst things in the world. Because like I said, in the end of the day, like we read, it's not man you're against, it's Yahweh. Because Yahweh created everything, Yahweh allows everything. But in the end of the day, their works are abominable and disobedient. They're condemning every kind of good work. It doesn't matter how good things you do. You know, no matter what it is, it's going to be condemned. If you can't appreciate all that Yahweh has given, something is wrong. Something is wrong. We are the most blessed people on the earth. And I've said this many, many times. I got my faults. I know that. But one of them is not being appreciative. I feel my life has been the greatest life. I don't know why Yahweh picked me to be the leader of the congregation. And one of the things that really now with the COVID is I appreciate all the traveling I've done in the last 5 to 10 years. But I miss it. I miss seeing the brethren. I miss being able to go out. I miss being able to encourage. Because I love it. It gives such a perspective. And I said to them, everywhere I go, I tell the people, you know, because they think I'm giving to them and I am giving to them, but they're giving more to me. I'm getting more out of these mission trips than I'm giving. And that's why I love it. And it makes me appreciative. So, if you can't appreciate all Yahweh's given, something is wrong. You are being unappreciative and faithless. That's what it is, because it takes faith to be appreciative. Prideful. And it must change quickly. You know why? Because if you don't change it quickly, and believe me, I don't want to make people feel bad by a sermon like this, because all of us, to one degree or another, like I said, does not give Yahweh the gratitude that we should be giving him. And there are times in our life, every one of us, that things go bad and we get in that rough spot. We get in that down spot a little bit. But a sermon like this is to make you feel like slap in the face. You got to get out of this. You can't let it stay. You know why? Because if it stays, it's going to go into a root of bitterness. You can't stay in that unappreciative, ungrateful state for a long time. Because if you do, that becomes your reality. And I've seen it with people. I've seen people that knew they were wrong with things and they admitted it. They thanked me for bringing it up with them. They were trying to overcome. And then you know what happened? They didn't work on overcoming. And before you know it, before long, all of a sudden I became the bad guy now. I became the enemy. And now they never did anything wrong. You're wondering, this is the same person that I was speaking to when he was admitting his wrongs. Not anymore. Because once that becomes your reality, right? Now you don't realize anymore that you did anything to put yourself in that spot. You start attacking all other people. You start blaming other people. And a root of bitterness comes in. and a root of bitterness. I'm not going to say it's impossible, because nothing's impossible with Yahweh, but it is very, very hard to change. Once that root of bitterness comes in, you're like 9/10 to the lake of fire. So you've got to make sure you change it quickly, because it can take you out of the kingdom. Let's go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. And that's why you want to set limits in your life. You want to make sure if even remotely you're starting to get into feelings of feeling sorry for yourself or depression, that you can immediately knock yourself out of it. You know, you got to break the pattern. You got to change the anchor and immediately get out, because it's not anything that's going to reveal in anything good. You know, in the end of the day, it's not going to end up good for you. Hebrews 12 and verse 14, he says, eagerly pursue peace and holiness with all, without no one will see Yahweh. One of my favorite scriptures, because it's a mandate. It gives us clear direction. You have to seek holiness without nobody will see Yahweh. Now look at verse 15. Watching diligently, did not any lack from the grace of Yahweh, right? That no root of bitterness growing up may crowd in on you, and it really will. Just like the roots in the tree spread out and crowd, the root of bitterness will crowd in on you, and there'll be no room left for anything else. It'll push out the 9 fruits of the Spirit, and there'll just be one big root of bitterness in your life. That no root of bitterness growing up may crowd in on you, and through this many are defiled. That not any fornicator or profane one as Esau, who for one meal gave up his birthright. For you know also that afterwards, desiring to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, although seeking it out with tears. And if you don't really understand what's going on here, people might say, well, what does it mean? If he was seeking with true repentance, why would he turn him away? And the problem is, he wasn't seeking with true repentance. A lack of appreciation will make you belittle your birthright promise. So he didn't care about his birthright promise. He cared what he lost. He didn't care how he belittled Yahweh's blessing in his life. He only worried about what he lost. A lack of appreciation will make you belittle your birthright promise. We are first fruits to Yahweh. We are children. We're not slaves. And he's called, like I said, you one in a million to be in the place you're at. And he's called you to be a child in his, in the family business of creating more family members forever. And he's put you there as a first fruit to that. And if you don't appreciate that, well, there's nothing more than he can do. Lack of appreciation will make you belittle your birthright promise. Like Esau, it will defile you. Esau couldn't find repentance because he was only sorry for what he lost, not for what he did. He was filled with self-pity. He couldn't see his grave sin toward Yahweh. An unappreciative spirit can't repent because they are so self-righteous. They can't see any sin in themselves, only in others. There's no praise for Yahweh, only condemnation for others. And like I said, it may start quick, but it will move very, very quickly. Jacob 3 and verse 8. Jacob 3 and verse 8. But no one of men is able to tame the tongue. It is an unrestrainable evil, full of death-dealing poison. By this we bless Yahweh, even the Father, and by this we curse men, having come into being according to the image of Elohim. Out of the same mouth comes forth blessing and cursing. My brothers, it is not fitting for these things to be so. And it really isn't. There's times I've seen people that will be in front of somebody and acting like everything is normal, talking to the person, saying nice things, and the person isn't gone for more than a minute or two, and then they're criticizing the person and putting them down. It's like, wow, wow. You know, but that's the unappreciative spirit. It will always criticize others. It doesn't see any fault in itself, but it will criticize others. And in doing so, you literally transform yourself into a worker of Satan. Because that's what Satan does. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Let's go there, Revelation 12:10. And when you're doing that, when you're putting down other people, you put yourself on Satan's payroll for good money. You're high up on his list once you start getting into that category. Revelation 12 and verse 10. And I heard a great voice in heaven which said, now has come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our Elohim and the dominion of his Messiah, because the accuser of our brethren is cast out, the one who accuses them day and night before Elohim, the accuser of the brethren, right? So, if you're there accusing the brethren, like I said, you're putting yourself on Satan's payroll. Whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. If you're criticizing others, you know that's what happens. You start to play the victim. You start to feel all these things. You know, nobody helped me. Nobody gave me money. Nobody was there and asked how I was. And I've seen it over and over and over again. This is the thing that destroys communities. Because when you go in the community, instead of thinking what you can give instead of what you can get, it'll be destroyed. And I'll tell you right now, we have more than 15 communities. We have another 4 or 5 being put up this year. And everyone has worked. We're doing this for 6 years. Not one has not worked. And because there's not that Western mindset in any of the communities. People aren't going in there looking and looking around. Who hasn't helped me? Who hasn't? No, they're going in there just seeing how they can serve. And that's what makes a community or breaks a community. It's that simple, you know. So you can't sit there being worried. Nobody helped me. Nobody gave me money. You know, nobody came in and asked how I was doing. It's all being on a pity party. It's self-righteous. They can't see the sins in themselves. They see it in others. And it's a grave sin toward Yahweh because it's an unappreciative spirit and the people can't repent from it. It's that simple. So even a message like this, I'm not giving it to that person because the person's never going to repent the unappreciative spirit. I'm giving it to the brethren so that you don't fall into that because any of us can fall into it. There's no praise for Yahweh, only condemnation. They accuse Yahweh. And then what happens? They wind up on Satan's payroll, right? They're molded in his likeness. So instead of being made in the image of Yahweh, they're made in the image, they're molded in the likeness of Satan. So what's the answer? Look at the very next verse. And they overcame him, Satan, because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their soul even till death. So the person who is thinking of others more than themselves, the person who is dying to the flesh every day, the person who is not looking at the material things that they want and covet and lust for, but is focused on their relationship with Yahweh, you could never fall into this trap because that's what you're doing. They don't love their soul even till death. There's no time to think about what I want or what I need because I have to be doing it for others. And that's why I say, how much are you studying every day? How much are you praying every day? How often do you fast? How much are you meditating on Yahweh's word and on Yahweh's kingdom? And this will decide where you're going to, you know? Because there's only 24 hours in a day, and either that day is glorifying Yahweh and working toward Yahweh, or it's not. It's working toward self. It's one or the other. So that's the answer. You have to humble yourself before Yahweh. You have to realize the power of the forgiveness of the blood of Yeshua in your life. Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Verse 1. So then, if there is any comfort in Messiah, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any mercies and compassion, complete my joy by being in one accord, in one love, in one soul, in one mind. Doing nothing according to strife or self-glory, but in humility let each regard his neighbor better than himself. Let no one be mindful only of his own things, but let each one also be mindful of the things of his neighbor. For think this within you, which mine was also in Yeshua Messiah. So wow, a child of Yahweh doesn't love his human life in Satan society, but he dies to self and he lives for other. His focus is off the self. It's that simple. Either you're doing it or you're not. Because whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. And if your mind is consumed in self-focus, you've become your own Elohim. And then the whole world, how you look at each person, each situation, is how they're looking at you as an Elohim or not. And it becomes really, really, really bad. So the child of Yahweh doesn't love his human life and Satan society, but he dies to the self. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 3. 1 Timothy 6 in verse 3. It says, if anyone teaches differently and does not consent to sound words, those of our Master Yeshua Messiah, and to the doctrine of the fear of Elohim, he is proud, understanding nothing, but harps upon the use of a word concerning doubts and arguments. And this is the cause of envy and controversy, evil speaking, evil suspicions, right? Taking something somebody says, you know. Oh, you look good today. What do you mean by that? Are you being sarcastic? Are you putting me down? They're taking every single word someone says and twisting it. The cause of envy, controversy, evil speaking, evil suspicions, meddling, right? That's another thing that the ingratitude person does, meddling in others' affairs. Of men whose mind has been corrupted and deprived of the truth, who think that worshiping of Elohim is for worldly gain. Keep away from such people. You know, like I said, you have to love your neighbor. You don't have to like them. And you don't have to. There's nothing in Scripture that tells us we have to be around people that are like this. The opposite tells us to avoid them. But our gain is greater contentment, for it is the worship of Elohim. Our gain is greater contentment. Contentment is your gain. It's not wanting more. It's being satisfied with less. That's what it is. Our gain is greater contentment is the worship of Elohim. For we have brought nothing into the world, and it is plain, neither can we carry anything out. But those having food and clothing, let us be satisfied with these. Do you have food and clothing? Are you satisfied? Or are you worried what's going to happen down the line? You're worried about this, worried about that. But those purposing to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and hurtful lusts, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all evils, by means of which some have lusted after it were seduced from the faith, and they themselves pierced through by many pains. And sometimes it is, not always, money related, but sometimes it is. But you, O men of Elohim, flee these things and pursue righteousness, holiness, faith, love, patience, and meekness, fruits of the Spirit. That's what we should be fulfilling ourselves. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and confess the good confession before many witnesses. Wow. So we got to get our priorities straight. We are the most blessed people in the world. We have direct access to the throne of Yahweh. Can you imagine? You're, like I said, you're one out of a million people. Not that Yahweh doesn't hear prayers, but prayers are filtered through the cherubs, and Yahweh can only answer prayers according to his word. But we as his children, we have direct access to his throne. And no matter what he's doing, you know, there could be a cosmic fight going on somewhere in the universe. And Yahweh puts everything to the side. And he says, nope, my child's here. I have to care for my child. So, wow. How much does that mean? Having direct access to the throne of Yahweh. Colossians 2 and verse 13. Colossians 2 and verse 13. And you who were once dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has granted to live with him, having forgiven all your sins. And by his mandates, he canceled the legal contract of our sins, which existed against us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the torture stake. And I say this all the time when I give sermons, particularly Passover time. You know, we were dead men walking. Every single human being that ever lived, except for Yeshua, has committed crimes worthy of death. And every single human being will stand before the throne of Yahweh and give account to the things done in the flesh, good or evil. There is a judgment day. There's a first resurrection, a second resurrection. Anyone who ever lived will be judged in that resurrection. And the ones who have done evil will go to the lake of fire, and they'll be screaming and gnashing of teeth. I've heard people tell me in the past, non-believers, they don't care. You know, oh, they don't care about it. But believe me, where it says they'll be screaming and gnashing of teeth, people will be screaming and gnashing teeth as they're being dragged over to the lake of fire. And yet, we've had our contract. Like I said, think about that. It's 5 to midnight. You're going there. You're going to be crucified or executed, you know, by some way. You're going to die. And it's 5 to midnight, and the reprieve comes because Yeshua paid the penalty. You weren't just given a pardon, because you can't pardon, you're guilty. Your penalty was paid for. What does that mean to you? And I think for a lot of people, they don't realize they don't realize that they've committed crimes that are worthy of death. And that's why when Yeshua came, he couldn't come to the Pharisees and he couldn't come to the Sadducees, because they couldn't see how evil and wicked they are. They couldn't see that they were violating Yahweh's word like that. And they were committed crimes worthy of death. You know who saw it? The prostitutes and the tax collectors. The ones who understood what they were doing is wrong and were able to admit it and repent and change. But when we look at this, every single one of us should look at this scripture and have such an appreciation, because not only did Yeshua forgive you, he paid the penalty, which means he suffered humiliation. He was spit upon. He was mocked. And he went through that. He didn't quit, like he said in the Garden of Gethsemane. Don't you know right now I can call 12 legions of angels? But how would the scripture be fulfilled? Because if he did at that point, he would have never died, and we wouldn't be here today. But no, he paid the penalty of our sins, and you've got to take that personal. And if you do, and you still have an unappreciative spirit, then there's no hope for you. Because how on earth, knowing that you should be dead, and somebody pays that penalty in your stead, can you still be unappreciative? Yeshua did not come to this world to be served, but to serve. He gave his only human life so we could have eternal life. Where the heart is, so is your treasure. So where is your heart and your treasure? We need to die to the flesh daily to live to Yahweh. An unappreciative, self-centered person cannot see this. They're filled with self-righteousness, self-pity, and they refuse to see themselves as the problem. By now, if somebody's watching this who is one of these unappreciative spirits, they're probably out there saying, you know, oh, when is he going to end? Okay, I get it. It's enough already. Because they're not seeing it. Because they're not seeing it. They're bitter. They're lonely souls. They're hoodwinked by saying that somehow self-pity will make them feel better, when it only puts them into more depression. Only true repentance and a change of heart, caring for others, will change them. So self-pity is never, it never makes you feel good. It only makes you feel worse. And like I said, this sermon really isn't for those people, because I don't believe when you get to that point you even have the ability to change. It really is for the people of Yahweh not to get to that point. That if it ever comes up in your life, if you're sitting there and something happens, like I said, there's a time to be happy, there's a time to be sad. So there are times in our life where we do grieve. We don't want that to get to a point where we go overboard, where we can't change. We want to make sure that Yahweh's desires are our desires, like Matthew 26:39. You know, what did Yeshua say? Not my will be done, but your will be done. This is how our life should be. Not my desires, but Yahweh's desires should be my desires. We go to Luke 15 and verse 11. Luke 15 and verse 11. This is the story of the prodigal son. Luke 15 and verse 11. And Yeshua would say to them again, a certain man had two sons, and his younger son said to him, my father, give to me the portion that is coming to me from your estate. And he divided to them his possessions. And not many days after, gathering up the things, the younger son went to a distant country, and there he wasted his property, living lavishly. And having spent all his things, a severe famine came throughout that country, and he began to be in need. And going, he was joined to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed the pigs. And he longed to fill his stomach with the husks which the pigs ate, but no one gave to him. But coming to him, he said, how many servants of my father have plenty of bread, and I am perishing with famine? Rising up, I will go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I sinned against heaven and before you, and I no longer am worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And rising up, he came to his father. But he, yet being far away, his father saw him and was moved with compassion, and running, he fell on his neck and kissed him. Can you imagine that? And how could the father see him if he was far away? What does that show you? It shows you that every single day the father was out there looking for him. Even though he was gone, even though he made the wrong decision, every day the father was out there looking for him. And that's why when he was far away, still being far away, his father saw him and was moved with compassion. And running, he fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer am I worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, bring out the best robe and clothe him, and bring a ring for his hand and sandals for his feet. And bring the fatted calf, slaughter, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead and lives again, and was lost, yet was found. And they began to be merry. So, wow, when you read that story, do you put yourself in there as that prodigal son or daughter, you know, if you're a female? But that's what it's there for. That's what that story is there for. The father is Yahweh, the father, who is out there every day looking for his children to come back. And he loves everyone because he created everyone in his own image. And do we realize that? Do we realize that all we have to do is humble ourselves like this son did? That son humbled himself. He repented. He saw where he was wrong. And then when he was still far off, the father who was looking for him every day was there. What a beautiful story. And you know what it shows us? It shows us it really is never too late. That the father will always forgive us if we do turn and change. But yet, when we look at Esau, who didn't seek repentance, but he sought what he lost, his gift that he lost, we don't want to fall in that category. We want to be like the prodigal son. We don't want to be like Esau. So, this is where we really have to take it personal. We have to personalize this. And I think this is one of the most beautiful stories in the whole Bible that really shows Yahweh's love and Yahweh's mercy and his compassion and his willing to forgive us if we will ask for it, if we will change, if we will humble ourselves before him. So I'm going to give you some homework for your lesson today. I want you to write a list, and I hope many of you already have this. Maybe if you're not looking at it all the time, though, you'll get it out. Write a list of all your blessings. Write a list of all your blessings you have. Read it every single day and add to your list, because every day you have new blessings. And you want to look at life from a standpoint of the blessings that Yahweh is showering on you, not the things that you're missing. You don't want to be like the Israelites, to be able to see all of those miracles that Yahweh did before them and have this mindset to be there saying that Yahweh brought us in the wilderness to kill us. How perverted, because like I said, everything starts with the mind. Everything starts with the mind. That should be the biggest thing on our list. One of them should be that Yahweh has opened up our mind to his truth. So make a list of your blessings. Read it every day. Add to the list. Whatever you focus on becomes most real. We need to be focusing on the work of Yahweh, on helping others, on bearing fruit for the kingdom, not on our own personal wants and desires that will never satisfy. You know, the Apostle Paul said in the book of Acts, as Yeshua said, it is truly more blessed to give than to receive. And it really is. You know, if you go in life, you'll realize that you feel much better and much happier and much more secure and much more filled with joy when you were able to give to somebody something they needed than when somebody gave to you. Now, granted, if someone's giving to you, you have to take, right? Because you're taking their blessing away if you don't take the blessing they're giving you. But if you're a true child of Yahweh, you'll admit it is much more blessed to give than to receive. It really is so true. So that's where we have to get to. Last scripture, Psalm 135. Psalm 135. Starting in verse 1. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Yahweh. Give praise, servants of Yahweh. Those who stand in the house of Yahweh, in the courts of the house of Elohim. Sing praise Yahweh, for Yahweh is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is delightful. For Yah has chosen Jacob to himself, Israel for his special treasure. For I know that Yahweh is great, and our Adonai is above all Elohim. Everything which Yahweh has pleased to do, he did in the heavens and in the earth and in the seas and in the deep places. He causes the mists to rise from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of the storehouses. Drop down to verse 13. O Yahweh, your name endures forever. O Yahweh, your memorial is from generation to generation. Right? The eternal King, Yahweh. Verse 19. Bless, Aleph Tav Yahweh, O house of Israel. Bless, Aleph Tav Yahweh, O house of Aaron. Bless, Aleph Tav Yahweh, O house of Levi, you who fear Yahweh, bless Aleph Tav Yahweh. Blessed be Yahweh out of Mount Zion, he who dwells at Jerusalem. Hallelujah. That's what Yahweh is, his eternal capital, where he'll dwell forever in the kingdom. We need to be reading the Psalms. We need to be singing the Psalms. We need to be praying the Psalms to Yahweh daily. We have to give him the glory that he deserves. We must show him the appreciation for how much love he gives to us every day of our life. And like I said, it doesn't matter what another human being is doing to you. If you don't have appreciation, the one that you're blaming is Yahweh. Don't let a root of an unappreciative spirit creep into your life. It will lead to a root of bitterness, false accusing, spirit of depression, and a lack of any true relationship with Yahweh and Yeshua. You will never have the proper relationship if you don't have a spirit of gratitude. Focus on the great redeeming work that Yahweh has done in your life. Praise him for that every single day. Focus on all the great blessings you have in your life. First is being a child of Yahweh, a literal child of his. Having your mind open to his truth, having him put his spirit, his mind, the mind of Messiah in you. When you are unappreciative, you're being prideful, self-centered, and you're mocking the spirit of grace. Open your eyes to see the great wonders that Yahweh has done in your life. Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.